Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this special class or conversation interview with our beloved Sister Genty. Has anyone arrived here in Gyantsarovar for the first time today? Oh, there's one hand up there. Welcome. Welcome. Great. Anyway, at the moment, the program for this season is Om Tuam Shanti, and this self-navigation, our route, and how we do it with Baba. And it started a few days back for some of you who were here with entering the space and classes reflecting that and then centering. And today we're going deep. We're going into uncovering a big subject for all of us as old souls who have been round the cycle and with Baba now. My name's Toots, and I've been a student with Baba for about 18 years, and I help out in London. So that's where I'm based, and I've just arrived as well, so I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted to have this opportunity to speak with Genty Ben on this subject. Big subject, facing my heart. Does that resonate with anyone? Facing my heart. So I'm going to ask the question to Genty Ben, because for all of us, we have this notion of a heart, of a lovely big image, and it's red. and we've lived that, and we have lots of physiological feelings that run through that physical organ, and it gets triggered by all sorts of different emotions and feelings, of pain, of nervousness, of fear, of anger, of delight, of love. And they all sort of trickle through the physical. But I get to ask Genty Ben, what really is the heart?
Om Shanti. When Baba first spoke about the heart being in the soul, I think it took everybody aback a little bit, because Baba hadn't been talking so much about heart. And then, of course, we realized that what Baba's talking about is very definitely the whole subject of feelings. And when you think about the soul as just a point of light, and so any division that we make and say, this is the mind, this is the intellect, this is sanskars, it's a model. It's really only an image that we're using to try and understand ourselves more deeply. But there isn't a thing in which you can divide it up in that way. The different functions at different times. Yeah. And so on one level, mind is very much the thinking capacity, my thoughts. But my thoughts also lead to my feelings. Mm. And so when you've had a repeated thought for a while, then the thought has come and gone, but it's left behind a feeling. Mm. And the feeling is actually then what we're describing as the heart.
Yeah.
And so the feeling is, you know, if the soul is gone, the physical heart is still there. Mm. And what feeling is there? There isn't. But it's the soul that's able to feel, that we use the term heart for that. Mm. This physical thing is a pumping machine. And that's what it is. But yes, as you said, the connection of soul and body is so instantaneous. Mm. That a thought comes and it can immediately create reactions. Mm. In the body. And then especially if you've had a repeated thought and it's created a feeling. Mm. Then that also creates a reaction within the physical form.
Mm.
So we talk about the heart, but yeah, it's actually here. And if you were to talk to people out there and say, the heart is here, they'll say, is there something wrong with you? So, but it's a term that Baba uses, and it's very yeah much the soul.
Yeah. The heart of the soul. Thank you. So we're going to investigate this further, and thank you for explaining that sort of instantaneous connection between my thoughts and feelings that are coming up inside, and then that expression or sensation. It's a very physiological sensation, a physical sensation.
Can I just pause for a minute? Can people at the back hear us? I think it's because the mic isn't close enough, and also because you're turning towards me.
Okay,
so
is that better? Yeah?
Yeah?
Great, lovely. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I want to look at what's happened to the heart, and I know it's what's happened to the soul. What's happened to the soul? but this sense, there was a beautiful song I heard once that says, you know, we all have a fortress around the heart. And that sense that when I came to start practicing Raj Yoga and recognizing Baba and feeling that powerful love, love and power together, that this fortress around the heart, which I did recognize that I had, I felt the heart had closed up, and it was obviously the thoughts and feelings that had shut down on one level. But with Baba's love, with Baba's sustenance, with Baba's power, that started to change, it started to shift, it started to soften, and my thoughts started to change, the way I was talking to myself started to change, and the feelings started to change. I'm sure we're all recognizing this on our journey. But then there came, I remember it actually, a very vivid point where I started to notice that, yes, there was that lovely experience of Baba's love and power, but also I started to feel very uncomfortable. A lot of discomfort going on within the soul, within the self, which was expressed through the physical. So with time and attention and wonderful supervision, that started to shift, but it's an ongoing journey. And this, I've realized this is the uncovering. This is what's happening, is that recognition of the self, the recognition of being an old soul, and a Baba's child, yet this uncovering of fear, of pain. So at one point I very quickly put the lid back on. Thought, no, we don't want to look at that. That hurts. So I just wanted to ask Genji Ben, because that there is a connection. You know, Baba's telling us every day to remember him, to remember our future form. And I wanted to ask Genji Ben, what's the connection between our ability to recognize our future form, to recognize our pure form, our beautiful form, where the feelings are coming through of joy and love. What is the connection between the ability to be in that, to touch it, to feel it, and also therefore then the ability to be able to face what's actually still in the heart of my being?
I want to first of all look at the whole question of why is it that we've built this fortress around the heart? Because that has happened for some, and I think maybe it's definitely happened for a lot in the West, more so than maybe in the East.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is that there's been hurt that's accumulated over a period of time, and so rather than expose myself to being hurt yet again, I build this fortress so that then I don't express my feelings easily, and I don't allow others to connect with me on a deeper level. And of course, if I've built up a wall in that way, neither am I going to be able to have real good relations with people. It'll always be very superficial. It'll be artificial almost. And so I need to deal with that, both to be able to have a good relationship with others, but also to be able to actually clean myself and see what's going on inside. And when you say that, you know, at one point you thought you'd put the lid back on, well, what happens in a practical way is that some people then say, look, I understand Gyan and Yoga, and I don't want to stay involved on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to carry on practicing at home, but they can't deal with the sanskaras that they're facing, even if it's a small group. And if it's a large group, of course, it's, they're more vulnerable. And so they avoid that and try to just isolate themselves. And, of course, that's not the way for a human being to live. And nor is it the way to be able to have spiritual progress.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't work in the way that I need to be. So I need to be able to interact, exchange. And you mentioned how it's Baba's love that was able to reach you. And it's true that today Baba spoke about the mother and the father, and how for most people, a large part of the world who believe in God, the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims, it's just the father. It's no mention of the mother at all. And in Christianity, I think the Virgin Mary fulfills a certain mother role, but not God the mother, definitely. She's very much a third citizen. There's God, there's Jesus Christ, and then there's somewhere down here, there's Mary. So, but that role of mother and father, when I first came to Baba and I understood who is God, it was a very beautiful experience of actually feeling God's love reach me.
Yeah.
And so it was, even though X number of years have been spent away from God, maybe not even just this birth, maybe even before, but now that I have come to God, God has found me and wants me to belong to Him, her. And so God gives a lot of love. The mother picks up the child, even though the child is dirty, and gives a lot of love so that I can let go of my inhibitions and say, yes, this is who I'm looking for. And so Baba says, you are mine, and I say, yes, I am yours. And so I think that because God plays the role of mother first, without the father figure, which is a more demanding figure in a sense, but the mother, just unconditional love, total acceptance, whatever is the condition of the child, doesn't matter. The mother just accepts the child. And so I think that it's God's love that allows us then to gradually open our hearts and start having those pure feelings of love, which we'd lost touch with. And so now God awakens those feelings once again. And the more I meditate, the more I'm able to take God's love and God's power. And so at some point, even be loving towards others. Because if I've shut down and I don't allow those inner feelings to be expressed, I'm cold, I'm hard, harsh with others. And where there is this harshness that comes across, it's because of this. They've shut down because of being deceived or let down or whatever, broken relationships. But now Baba was saying, okay, open yourself and take my love, and through taking my love, also be an instrument to share that love with others. And your other question, about the deity form and my final perfect form. In the Sakar Muralis, Baba uses this as a throwaway line. You were a deity soul and now you're going to become a deity soul again. Pause for a moment and ask yourself, do I truly believe this? In theory, I've understood the cycle that yes, these are the ages, these are the stages, and this is what happens. But is it personal? Does it apply to me? And I think that that's sort of searching that goes on, and to just check, is it theory that I'm hearing, or is it an actual belief that I have through my own understanding, my faith, and maybe even my experience in meditation, where Baba gives me a gift. You know, I think for many, meditation in the early days of coming to Baba is a gift. You're not working too hard at it, but Baba's giving you experiences to bring you close and to awaken your interest and your love. And so if I've had that experience in which I've been able to get a glimpse of that total purity, that love, that joy, then I know that that is possible. And that is my deity form.
Mm.
And so if I've allowed myself to have that experience and I now believe I am a deity soul, does it touch your heart? Does it strike you that yes, you are a deity soul? Emerge that feeling. And when you emerge that feeling, then you think, okay, well, I'm having to deal with all this other stuff, but it's okay. With Baba's help, I'll get there. Because the soul is a deity soul. And yes, there's a lot of karma that's been accumulated for a couple of thousand years, but I'm going to get there because I know that there are those deity sanskars within me. And yes, it's taking time to emerge them, but they're there.
Mm. Thank you, gentlemen, for that. And I certainly find that this, you know, the spinning of recognizing that the soul has journeyed for such a long time, and really getting into that understanding, it brings acceptance of whatever sanskars, because you connected sanskars to heart before, so whatever sanskars are still operating, it's in a sense that self-compassion or that understanding to bring in that, well, I've been in the vices for 63 births. It's a long time. A very long time. Yes, Baba is gently, subtly, powerfully pulling me out of that, but to hold that notion I find actually quite liberating, because I can sit above it rather than get too caught in it, because I was having a discussion with someone before, and sometimes we can go either way. We can think, oh well, we're nearly perfect, and sort of forget, and this is, I think, where the blind spots can come in. But other times our self-esteem can be very low, I'm not worthy. So both are, I know, ego, both are, again, old sanskars operating, but to find that middle position, which is soul consciousness, which is in relation with Baba, where I'm really spinning and understanding, and certainly I can see more shift happening with that. How much would you say is yoga, and how much would you say is spinning in terms of percentage, or would you not separate the two?
There was a year in which, many years ago, some of you will remember this, but Baba gave us homework for the whole year to spin the discus. And it was very beautiful because Baba actually did like a meditation commentary.
Mm.
Baba said, okay, now let's have drill.
Mm.
Baba used that term, drill. And Baba said, okay, come back to your home. What is it like there? What stage you're in there? You are the embodiment of silence, the embodiment of purity. And then come down into the golden age. What is it like? What is your deity form? Emerge those divine qualities. So Baba took us through the cycle in meditation. And so Baba wasn't separating the gyan from the yoga.
Yeah.
But Baba was actually using the gyan to take us into that experience of the different stages of the cycle. And so it gave us a very clear roadmap of what it is we need to do in meditation. And so definitely I think it made a big shift in everybody at that time. and then, as often happens, something that's useful, you practice it for some time, and then somehow other things get in the way, and so you forget it. But I would recommend that definitely spinning the discus, and Baba tells us to do that in every Murali practically, but actually making it a subject for my meditation at least a few times a day, maybe during the traffic control times, because once you begin to be aware of it, it doesn't take 30 minutes, it doesn't take 10 minutes, it takes just a few minutes emerging that awareness and that feeling, that experience. And so the more I do this, the more detached I can be from my Kalyugi sanskars.
Yeah.
I know that they're there, I'm not in denial, I've recognized them, and maybe if it's a blind spot, it's been coming to me in different ways from different directions. And at some point, I have to say, well, because everybody is telling me and giving me the same message, let me explore it. Does it have validity? Or why is it that I'm getting this message from so many directions again and again? And so, for me, it's a blind spot, but when people keep reminding me, it's a very good opportunity to explore it and uncover it and see, well, is it valid? And if today I don't recognize it, but the message is still coming and people are still discontent with me because of a particular thing, then it is time to say, well, what's going on? And so I recognize it, but it mustn't cause me disheartenment, but rather it's something I need to do to sort out before the end of the year. Do you remember Baba's comment that this is the year for closure, the year for completion? And so if I am now noticing things that I need to sort out, let me give it a time frame. I want to be able to sort it out this year, so that then Baba would say, do it now, instantly. And I'm not saying do it instantly, because sanskars are very deep and so they don't go away instantly. My realization can be instantaneous, but the effort that I'm making after my realization is going to take time. And so I don't delude myself and and think, oh, because I've realized it and now it's gone, it's finished. It can still come up. You know, when you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've not been, but what people tell me about it is that they always say that they're on the road, that recovering. They use this term, we're recovering alcoholics. They don't say, I am a recovered alcoholic. They say, we're recovering. And why they use this language is because they know that in today's world, what it is you're exposed to and all the stuff that's going on, anything might trigger another reaction and stuff might come out again. And so, okay, I think I've dealt with anger, but have I really finished it completely? Or is it that I'm now managing it, and at some point, unless I've really done that intense tapasya to finish it, something may trigger it again and shock me. But so that idea that I'm facing what I need to face, but I'm also not letting myself get disheartened, it's the cycle, the spinning of the discus that's going to help me keep moving forward and keep a hope for myself and compassion for myself.
Great, thank you. We're all recovering deities on the road. We are. So, thank you, Jenti Ben, for that. And that leads me to this sort of, again, this sort of delicate area and connection between, before I go on to that, just around blind spots, because you're just mentioning that. My question is, do I have to wait for everyone else to tell me before I can somehow allow a blind spot to sort of reveal itself? Or can I ask Baba to say it, to tell me? Because I think it'd be a lot easier to deal with if he tells me rather than other people. What's the mechanism with that?
In fact, it's not so much that somebody tells me that I'll instantly accept it.
Yeah.
But if the message keeps coming again and again and again, that's one thing. But the other is that if I'm going through a feeling of pain, an inner sense of sorrow, and I'm not identifying on an external level what it is that's going on, why am I feeling this, when as a yogi, my birthright is to be able to experience joy. And so why am I not experiencing joy? And so if I start looking inside, that's maybe going to help. But the other is Baba's Muralis. Baba's Muralis, Avyakt Muralis especially, are so explicit. First stage this, second stage this, third stage this. Baba never says anyone is bad. But Baba will say the highest and then the next. And those who are good, but...
And it's always a map, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a road map to recognize and
Baba gives
come out
very
and
clear signs.
Yes.
And then even if it's the last stage and I'm seeing certain aspects of that that I'm recognizing in myself, well, okay, let me start. And let me start using the methods that Baba has given in the Avyakt Muralis. Every Avyakt Murali gives you many, many methods to experiment with to be able to change those sanskars. And and then Baba will say, well, this is a result of your carelessness. In recent times, carelessness or I and my have been the big things that Baba's identified as being the blocks to self-transformation. And then Baba has also said, okay, never mind. Even if this is your stage today, whatever has happened up until now, never mind. Baba's still compassionate, Baba's still ready to help, Baba can still give you the power, and let me accept that. And so it's not that because this Murali was spoken in 1983 that it's not applicable today. It is. And at this moment now, Baba's still speaking to me. And Baba's still playing the role of the compassionate one. Yes, at some point in the drama, it'll be a different scene. But at the moment, still, there's compassion. And so let me take advantage of that.
So in a sense, it's having that internal conversation with Baba to, in a sense, request to see, to uncover a bit more, to see a bit more, yet using the Muli as the signals in the days. That's what I need to look at.
I'm seeing that if from my heart, really sincerely, I say to Baba, and it doesn't have to be a long conversation, it's really just a genuine plea from the heart. Baba, something has to get sorted out. I need your help to understand.
Yeah.
It's not like an ongoing conversation.
Yeah.
It's one statement almost.
Yeah.
I don't need to repeat it.
Okay.
Because otherwise I'm still stuck there.
Yeah. I've done a lot of repeating over the years.
But if I say to Baba, I need your help in this. And what I'll probably find is that the next day, the same day, either there's a conversation with somebody, or most times, then Baba's giving me an answer from the Murali.
Yeah.
And I can understand that this is what it is I need to sort out.
Yeah, great, thank you. Another question that came up, we had a few questions from everyone. So one question came up is, what is the best way to handle myself when scenes of my past actions pop up in the mind and I have this experience of regret?
I think there's a difference between realization and guilt. And yes, within the realization, probably what is part of that process of realization is regret. But having experienced regret, now if I'm at the stage of realization, it's not useful to go back to those scenes and emerge those scenes and feelings which I know I was off track. And so today I realize And I've put it in front of Baba with honesty, and maybe also to other things. Maybe I've sought forgiveness from the people whom I've hurt in a particular situation, or if that's not been possible, I've just put it to Baba. But also, Baba would say to us, go to your instrument, whichever instrument you trust, and let them know also what it is that's happened, whether you do it personally or whether you do it in writing. And so that will help you put closure on that.
Mm.
Why the scene keeps coming up in my mind,
yeah,
is because I haven't dealt with it properly. I haven't decided that that's the end, finish. I'm not going to go down there again. I've done what I can in terms of being honest with myself and honest with Baba and honest with an instrument, and if there's possibility of forgiveness from the human beings involved, fine. If it's not possible, okay. And then, what do I do about it now? Now I'm on that journey of recovery, of transformation. And so let me now do what I need to do. For example, if it's attachment to an individual.
Yeah.
And on one side, I'm justifying it. And I'm saying that because of this is why I'm connecting with this individual. I'm not actually acknowledging that it's my dependency or my attachment, my possessiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at some point, it's going to interfere in my yoga. It's not going to let me have powerful yoga. And maybe it's even going to make me sleepy in yoga.
Mm.
There are reasons why people get sleepy in yoga. And usually it's because there's been mistakes that have been made and not fully acknowledged.
Yeah.
And so that is a burden on the soul.
Yeah.
And so it's preventing me from connecting with God.
Mm.
And so if I've gone through that process of realization and all the other things, now I want to put a full stop to that, and so I need to be in charge of what comes up in my memory, and I need to be able to clean out my memory track. Many of you will remember that Dad used to speak about the chit, the memory track,
yeah,
and so the things that are recorded in my memory. And so now at this moment, if deeply I've understood and I'm changing, and I've let go of that attachment, and truly I'm no longer dependent on that individual, then I see the change in myself.
Mm.
And in that transformation, that is past, it's over, full stop.
So that's a very conscious decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen sort of like automatic whitewash.
Yeah,
it happens.
I was just wondering,
through a conscious clearing.
Yeah, I was wondering with that, because I've often experimented with this notion of Baba as the surgeon, and that the patient, they just get the anesthetic and then they're out, aren't they? And you wake up the next day and whatever surgery is being performed, and you feel better for it. And sometimes there have been yoga experiences like that, where it's felt that, gosh, here in Madhaban, so I feel that something's happening, but I don't quite know what. And then I get home and to feel a bit lighter, and definitely something has shifted, something has cleared. But it wasn't a conscious decision in this way. So I was wondering just the sort of relationship between the way I'm working with Baba, in a sense, in different ways.
Sometimes there are gifts that come to us in Madhuban, and as you say, you feel just lighter by being in Madhuban, and you take that lightness away with you. When Baba's performing surgery, it's only because I've given Baba permission.
Mm.
The surgeon gets you to sign your life,
yeah,
away to him.
Yeah.
You know, and all the maybe this will happen, maybe this will happen, maybe you'll die through the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, they make you sign.
Yeah.
And literally you're handing over your life to,
yeah,
the surgeon.
And also, so the diagnosis has been made, hasn't it, beforehand?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so even with Baba, the surgeon, I say to Baba, okay, Baba, I'm dealing with this. I need your help.
Yeah.
And so Baba's deeply giving me the courage and the power to be able to finish it and turn around a new phase,
yeah.
emerge a new phase. And Baba can do that. Baba yeah. can give me that help. But then I also have to make sure that I follow the directions of the surgeon.
Yeah.
You have to follow the
plan.
You have to comply all the different directions that the surgeon is giving. And so, and the surgeon says, now you don't go back to drinking alcohol. Otherwise it's going to cause problem for your liver again.
Yeah.
And so yeah. Baba says, okay, don't go back and emerge those memories. You know, there's even in the Bible, there's these stories about the person turning around and being turned into a pillar of salt.
Yes.
So Hindu Bhakti has similar stories
yeah.
about turning around and it's a problem.
Yeah.
So going back to the past,
yeah.
that has been recognized in Bhakti as being something very serious
yeah.
in which the soul gets blocked in its efforts. So yes, Baba can do the work, but I also have to keep track of what's going on in here
yeah.
and not emerge those memories.
Yeah.
Or if I'm in a similar situation again, very consciously at that moment to know that I keep Baba with myself so that those same things in terms of my attitude don't come up.
Mm. So in a sense, they haven't completely gone, but they've been made latent until I decide to trigger them again.
Baba's dealing with them
yeah.
and helping me deal with them. But, you know, if there's a wound that's
yeah.
healing
yeah.
and you keep scratching to
yeah.
see, well, how far has it happened?
Yeah.
Well, it's just going to start bleeding again.
Yeah.
And so the doctor's done his bit.
Yeah.
But what must I do?
Yeah.
So it's yeah. a relationship with God in which it's not just God and then I'm passive.
Yeah.
But I have to engage with God in order to be able to benefit from what God wants for me.
Yeah, yeah, great. Thank you for that.
Very, very different to Bhakti, in which God is up there and I'm expecting God to do everything
yeah.
for me. And yes, I'm going to do a little bit of puja, I'm going to do a little bit of donation, and God is going to do everything else.
Yeah.
And here, I think it was yesterday. Yesterday, Mama was talking about karma.
Mm.
And it's you
yes.
and your
yeah.
karma. Yes, God is showing you how to create fortune and has come to give you fortune, but it's your elevated karma
mm.
that's actually going to allow you to experience that fortune.
Yeah.
So, jnana is a very active path. It's not a passive path.
Yeah. So when we get moments of going like that, we can recognize, all bhakti sanskara of just in my way of just interpreting or absorbing.
There should be a signal that I feel that alerts me when old attitudes start coming up.
Yeah.
Because that attitude is an indication of that sanskar. I see somebody coming and my hackles rise again. Just simply seeing them, I have to recognize it
yeah.
and say, let me see the soul. Let me see the beauty of the soul. Let me see the goodness of the soul.
Yeah.
And very consciously turn it around so that old reactions don't manifest.
Yeah, great. Thank you for that. It's very useful. And that actually leads on nicely to this question that came from someone, which is how do we balance our relationships with souls who are close to us, around us, but who are not in jnana? How do we balance with them without giving them the feeling that I'm hurting them when I'm talking about jnana? Has anyone had this experience? When you talk away to people in your family or what have you, and actually it can annoy them sometimes. So how do we transform this? Because there's always, Baba says, you know, serve those who are close to you.
Charity begins at home, and it's true. And the proof of my transformation is my immediate Lokik family.
Yeah.
Because they've seen me for years and they know what my sanskars are. And if today there's transformation, they'll be seeing that, they'll be watching
yeah.
that. And so I think that it's not so much a question of giving jnana to my Lokik family, When you first begin, because it was so beautiful for you, you think everybody's just waiting to hear Gyan. And then you realize that, well, they're not quite ready to accept the things that you've accepted. And it takes a little bit of a juggle in your mind to accept that maybe they're not interested in Gyan. But in what way is it that I can serve them? They'll see my transformation. Mm. And maybe if I was very anxious before, very fearful before, and now they see me confident, not anxious, very calm, very peaceful, I'm creating an atmosphere which is of benefit for everyone in the family.
Mm.
By telling them, God has come and given me so much peace, they're not going to believe me.
Mm.
But if I actually demonstrate the peace that Baba has given me, the love that Baba has given me, where I used to get impatient with them, now they see me developing patience and they see me behaving differently, I think that's the way you can convince them.
Yeah.
The one thing that is not so easy to deal with is the whole subject of purity, because that's interpreted as causing sorrow, and that's the challenge. But in that also, what I've found is that if prior to Gyan, there's a relationship of mutual respect, then it's easy to accept that, yes, we can stay together and yes, we can follow the path of purity, even if one partner is not on the path of Raj Yoga.
Yeah.
But where there was a rocky relationship anyway, then purity comes in as an excuse. Well, it comes as a threat, but also it becomes an excuse.
Mm.
And so things get put onto that because of Raj Yoga, our relationship has gone wrong.
Yeah.
But the relationship wasn't good anyway.
Yes.
And again, that's also what I've found between parents and children.
Mm.
And children, I'm not talking about little children, I'm talking about teenagers or adults.
Mm.
That where somebody's come to Gyan and then they have a difficult time helping their relatives, their parents understand what they're doing. But when you start talking and exploring it further, you realize that there was actually a breakdown in that relationship anyway.
Yeah.
And so today, Gyan becomes the external factor that this is the reason.
Mm.
But in fact, Gyan is teaching me how to repair relationships.
Yes.
There's greater tolerance, there's greater patience, there's greater peace.
Mm.
And the family is benefiting from that.
Yeah. And this is all clearing out the heart.
This is what has to happen in my own spiritual journey and my feelings towards them.
Yeah.
Because where there's been challenges in relationships with them, I'm carrying those hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm thinking, well, I gave them so much sorrow, I'm remembering all the sorrow that I've taken from them.
Mm.
But it must have been mutual.
Yeah.
But I'm remembering all that sorrow.
Mm.
And so, being soul conscious, connected with Baba, I look at those feelings and I say, well, is it useful to hold on to those? And it's not good for me, and it's definitely not good for the relationship. And so, again, with Baba's love, taking help from Baba to clear it out, and then the relationship can be much better, much sweeter.
Yeah.
Even if out of two individuals, one person is doing that inner work, then the relationship changes, the dynamics have shifted.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. So it's not about delivering Gyan, it's not about even talking about the relationship or anything, it's just about my own internal transformation with Baba and the knock-on impact that can have.
And the worst thing that you could talk about, and when I came to Gyan, I told my brother this, and thankfully he has never reminded me of it, but I told my brother, there's going to be destruction in 1976.
Yeah, that's a great one, isn't it? We love that one.
And, as I say, he's too sweet to tears. Say, but that's what you said to me. But the other thing that's also very challenging for people, in particular from the West, is the story of karma. there was somebody in a wheelchair, and this person came back to me and said that I thought I was going to help her, and I told her, well, it's your karma. And she turned around and said to me, but Christ says, I love those the most who are suffering. And so what you're saying is very different.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely different understanding.
And in fact, there was, I've forgotten the exact phrase, but in Christianity there's this idea that suffering comes to those who are blessed. It's that sort of idea.
Yeah.
And so this person had to learn the hard way that talking about karma to somebody who's in a wheelchair is not going to bring them closer to God.
Yeah.
So there are things about gyan that it's not useful to talk about.
Yeah. Just for our ears, as much the ones who are listening to Baba.
This is why, like today, Baba's really, in fact, the last several days, Baba's been focusing on one subject, the introduction to God. And God in a very simple way as that being of light. That's it. That's the message that everyone needs to understand. And it's not threatening in any way. So the Supreme Being, the Divine, whatever language you want to use, but that being of light. Let souls understand that that's the source. And that's the one with whom we have to connect.
Great, thank you. Just a last question, just back to the title of Facing Our Heart and Emotions and Blind Spots. Just one last question about this connection between fear and sorrow, possibly, actually, that creates a blind spot, where we there's been some sorrow that we're frightened in a way of triggering it again. And that means that we're then blind to actually seeing what needs to go. Does that make sense?
It happens with illness. You know, last time I was in this place, I got sick, and so I don't want to go there again in case I get sick again.
Triggers,
so that fear, it happens with people. This person always gives me grief and puts me down. I don't want to connect with them because of this. They might say something like that to me again. So yes, sorrow and fear very definitely go together. And the memory stays with me. And it keeps coming back. And so I have to really talk to myself and say, well, it's not the place that actually caused me that sickness.
Yes.
I was exhausted. My immune system was down. Just explore it and see what is it that happened. And understand that it's not the place. And so to free myself from irrational fears is something that Gyan's able to do. But of course, feelings are stronger than reason. And so I have to deal with the feelings and make sure that I feel comfortable and safe and secure. Not just understand and separate the whole subject of illness from that irrational fear, but to feel comfortable with something. And again, with an individual, I know they always put me down. Can I change my attitude and say, well, they're testing me. They're seeing what my stage is. And I want to show that yes, I've moved forward in the few days or the few months since we last met. And today I'm going to hold my dignity absolutely in a stable way with Baba's help, with soul consciousness. And if they say things that normally would have made me feel that yes, I am like that or I get pulled down by it, can I keep smiling? And if I keep smiling in the face of their taunting, it's going to disarm them and they'll stop.
And that's because we're sitting in that safe, secure inner space.
It's the practice.
Yeah.
I've practiced being here. I've practiced holding myself in that space of soul consciousness. There was a lovely expression that Baba used the other day. Sit on the seat of your experience of being the Master Almighty Authority.
Yeah.
And so you've had that experience in meditation. Baba's given you that feeling that all the power that belongs to God also belongs to me. And so I am this. I am the Master of Mighty Authority. But I hold it not during the meditation. Yes, I underline it for myself in the meditation so that it stays with me very deeply, very strongly. And then when I'm face to face with that individual, can I see them as a soul? Can I hold my own stage of soul consciousness and that dignity of being the Master Almighty Authority? If I keep smiling, it'll disarm them completely. They don't know what to do, because they're used to them pushing and me getting pushed down. And now they're pushing and I'm not going down. I'm holding my own. They'll get a little bit confused and they'll stop.
Great.
So whatever it is, whatever are my fears, let me see what is the cause of that fear. And probably I'll also find, when I discover the cause of that fear, why is it that I don't want to meet this individual? Why is it that I don't want to be in front of the microphone? What is it? And when I discover the cause, I'll also find the solution then.
Great. Lovely. Thank you, gentlemen. Would you very kindly lead us through a reflection on facing the heart? Just a quick one.
It'll be very quick. Because I know that there's another whole session lined up after this.
Yeah, just a very short one to close for us for this part of the evening. Thank you.
Sitting quietly, I go on an inner journey. And I look inside and I see my thoughts, awareness of the soul, awareness of my own highest qualities, and in the stable stage of knowing I'm Baba's child, and I have Baba's blessings, protection, love, and support. I look at what's in my heart, and as I open up my heart, I realize that I carry feelings of fear. I carry feelings of lack of self-worth. I carry feelings of sorrow. And in the awareness of being Baba's child, I take Baba's love so that the power of that love heals the heart, removes the pain, and the power of Baba's love restores me to my state of self-esteem and my own inner dignity. And I know that with the Almighty Authority as my companion, I don't need to be afraid of the demons outside or the demons inside. Baba's love, compassion, and truth are with me to deal with all the demons outside and inside. Keeping Baba with me, I come back to the awareness of the physical dimension and the things happening here. And I hold Baba with me.